Thanks for joining us for today's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Lauren Kraft continues our series, The Gratitude Initiative, with a message titled, Gratitude Plus Faith Equals. Now here's Pastor Lauren.
How we doing? Hey, before we get started, I want to give a couple of plugs for some ministries that I'm involved with here. One is fairly recent to me. Ron Stokes has graciously passed on the baton for parking and security. Yes. You know, career-wise, I'm an operations guy, so I kind of love it. But with that in mind, I need some volunteers. This is not something that we get paid to do, but this is something we get to volunteer for. And, you know, he's really set a high bar. He's been very organized, very methodical about how he has set up the parking ministry and the security ministry and even the medical side of things. But what I want to do is I want to continue in that thread. And really, I want to set up the Disneyland experience. I want people to come here. Well, I didn't know that would be funny, but it was true. I want people to come to Portland Christian Center, and when they pull up, there's someone smiling, ready to help them in, help them out of their car at the front steps, to help them off the shuttles, to be that smiling face to usher them into the sanctuary. We have incredible greeters and we have ushers, but we need more people out in the parking lot. And also, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of combine security with the parking lot ministry. And what that's going to look like is that we're going to cross-train people, because the people who are out there are really the front line for us as a church. And in the crazy world that we live in today, we need people out there to be the eyes and the ears of the church. We believe in God Almighty that's going to protect us, absolutely. But we also know that God has given us a brain to use and to function with as well. So if that's something that maybe you've never done before, or maybe you have, but it hasn't been the season for you, let me encourage you to step up and do that again. It's cool. You get walkie-talkies. You get a cool orange flashlight. You get to wear that yellow vest that everyone loves to wear. But Dave Mendez is going to be out in the lobby afterwards, and I'd really encourage you to go. Just sign up, just say, yes, that's me, I'd love to be a part of that. And especially with the Christmas concerts coming up here in just a few weeks, we need some people to step up. And listen, you don't have to be a man to be in this ministry. I've done this ministry at other churches before, and some of the best people I've had on my team were women. So listen, sign up, be a part of what we have to do. It's going to be a fun time. I really need some people to help out with parking on Friday nights for the concerts, 2 weeks in a row. Saturdays and Sundays, I think we're doing pretty good. We could still use more people. The more smiling faces we have, the better it's going to be. And everyone said amen to that? Amen. 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 The other thing we're going to do is we're going to continue to step up with men's ministry. Men's ministry is one of those weird ministries in churches that no one really quite knows what to do with. You know, you get women together, and as soon as they walk in the door, it's like everyone's talking at the same time. You know, they have awesome food, and when you come to a men's thing, it's usually at, you know, some ungodly hour, like 3:30 in the morning on a Saturday, and like, who's going to show up for this thing? That's amazing. Actually, people do, and what that shows me is that people are hungry for this. Guys, we need to get together. I was part of a men's Bible study this last year that went on for about 12 months, and there were 12 guys, purposely, I think, kind of in the line of Jesus and the disciples. And we all got together, and these were some highly successful men from all different walks of life, CEOs, CFOs. I won't tell some of the titles, because you probably would know who they were. And one day we came in the middle of our session, and one of the guys broke down. He said, you know what, I'm having marital problems. And from any outside look into his life, you'd say, this guy has it all together. He's got money, he's got a family, he's got the incredible job, but he was broken. And it was crickets in there. And you know what happened? Another guy sat back in his chair and he said, I am too. And then another guy sat back and he said, I am too. 10 out of the 12 men that were sitting in that Bible study were struggling in their marriages. And I thought, how many people are sitting in church today hurting and broken and not raising their hand? Men, we need each other. More than ever before, we need each other. So what I want to encourage you to do at the same table that Dave is hosting out in the lobby there, if you want to be part of a community group, we're going to blow the doors off this thing in the first quarter of next year. be a part of something that's bigger than yourself. Be accountable to somebody. Be willing to stand up for somebody else. So if you want to lead a community group, check the box. If you want to be a part of a community group, check the box. Just do it. It's the right thing to do. And amen to that too? Amen. Amen. Hey, it's been quite a week, right? You all know what I'm talking about. Starbucks has come out with their Christmas cups. Yeah. Yes. That's what I'm talking about. The real important stuff. My daughter's collecting them. That's kind of gross. Hey, Dad, when you're done with that, can I keep it? Yuck. Okay. If you really want to. Wash it out. What we're going to talk about this morning, we're going to continue our series on gratitude and thankfulness this morning. And the passage we're going to look at is Luke 17. And this is the story of the 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus. And the title of the message this morning is Gratitude Plus Faith Equals. And what I'm hoping to is that by the end of the message today, you'll understand what that really truly equals. And so that's found in Luke 17, verse 12, and it'll be up on the screen here as well. But let's read this together, if you want to read it silently while I read it. I'm probably reading from a different version than you have. It says, as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. An interesting note that when they said Jesus, Master, it's the same Greek word that the disciples used when they called Jesus, Master. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. What I want to do this morning is I want to kind of pick through this verse by verse. It's a short story, but I think each verse has a lot packed into it. And I think if you're like me at the very end of this, I think we'll be a little bit surprised in what really is happening in this story. So verse 12, he says, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And before I go any further this morning, let's just pray. I believe that literally from the time we walked into this place, Pastor Ron was praying in the back room with the pastors and the staff this morning. And I tell you what, this guy should be preaching. He was so on fire for what the Lord is doing. He had such expectation for what God is going to be doing this morning. He already has been doing something this morning, but I believe he has something even greater for us still. So can we agree together this morning for that? You want that this morning? Jesus, we come, we thank you, God, for your goodness. We're thankful for your faithfulness, Jesus, and for your mercy. Lord God, we come expectant this morning, not because we deserve anything, but because you love us and you have something for us. So Holy Spirit, we invite you. Move amongst us this morning. Soften our hearts. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. And God, if there's something in us this morning that needs to change, or there's something in us that we need to receive, Lord, we receive it, Lord, even now. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen? So as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Historically, we know this about the story, that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. In fact, Jesus was on his way to the cross. And on the way there, he stopped at an in-between place. And this village that he'd walked into, it was right between Samaria and Galilee, two places that were so different from each other. And if you don't know this, Samaritans at the time were marginalized. They were looked down upon. They were definitely not a part of what God was doing according to the Jews. They were literally kind of the scum of the earth. Yet Samaria and Galilee were butted up next to each other, but between them was this in-between place. And what I love about this is that Jesus loved to go to the in-between places. He loved to go to places where no one would expect him to go, where they wouldn't expect a teacher or a prophet or a teacher or God himself to go. But that's exactly where Jesus went. He went to the people who were marginalized. And we see this as he went to the other leper and he touched a leper, people who were untouchable. He spent time and ate with a tax collector. Gross. And he went and he spent time with the woman at the well, and he was touched by the woman who had the issue of blood. Again, the people who are untouchable, the people who are marginalized by society. And those, in fact, were the places that Jesus loved to be, and those were the times and places that Jesus spent his ministry and growing his ministry. Jesus found himself in an in-between place. What's your in-between place this morning? You know, sometimes it's really obvious. Sometimes we have a need, and it's blaring in our face. It could be finances. It could be a marriage that needs to be healed. It could be, man, I just need to pay my water bill this week. But sometimes those in-between places are the places so deep in us that we hide them, and we begin to marginalize ourselves. But what I'm going to look at this morning and what I want to talk about this morning is that God's supply is attracted to our need. God is attracted to your need. Does that sound crazy? Because so many times we try to cover up our need. My wife, Katie, has been going through some pretty challenging health issues. And one of the first things that happens in a church like this, because you guys are so gracious and kind, everyone's like, well, let's set up a meal train. And, you know, it's not like I don't love food or anything. I love food. But something in me is like, oh, well, we don't need that. You know, we're pastors. We don't need a meal train. And we probably had 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 people just say, if you need it, we'll set it up. And I kept saying no, and I kept saying no, and I kept saying no, until I really felt convicted by the Lord that this is a way of supplying for us. You know, the Word of God says that God hates a prideful look. He hates pride, but God hates a prideful look. You know, sitting in church with my arms folded, my legs crossed, you know, either you really need to go to the bathroom or you're cold. But sometimes it's pride because we say, I don't need anything. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. And can I tell you, we've been walking through this journey, one of the biggest blessings has been able to come home the evening and have a hot meal that I don't have to prepare. Let me tell you, Katie is really grateful that I didn't have to prepare it. But sometimes it's recognizing that we have a need. And when we recognize that we have a need before the Lord, he says, I want to meet your need. It was 2001. Katie and I had been married for just a little over a year, and we had children very, very quickly. We had Madison. Madison was born in September, and this was probably literally this time of year, it's Thanksgiving, and we were in this cute little ranch-style house in the Cedar, in Raleigh Hills area, and we were poor. I mean, we had nothing. We had each other. We had a baby. We had nothing. We had a Volvo in the driveway that didn't have reverse. We had nothing. Actually, I parked it by the curb because I couldn't back out of the driveway. And I'll never forget, it was close to Thanksgiving time, and Katie was in the kitchen getting ready for dinner, and I was sitting at the table, and Mattis was sitting in her high chair just making weird noises at me. And Katie walked in, and she was so thrilled because she had prepared one of my favorite dishes for me. Well, one of my favorite Thanksgiving dishes. Who likes, like, the green bean casserole? I'm just saying, green bean casserole. Mushroom gravy, fried onions on top. So she brings this out, she sets it down, and she said, I made this for you, honey. And I looked at it, and there were no fried onions on top of it. And I wasn't mad, I was gracious. I'm like, awesome, where are the fried onions? And she kind of hung her head a little bit. She said, well, we couldn't afford the fried onions. I'm like, what? Like, you can get the Kroger's brand for like $1.09. We don't have a buck. She said, we literally don't have a dollar. And I'll tell you what, the more you get to know me, you'll find that I'm like David. And the reason I'm like David is because my emotions are all over the place. I fully admit that. I am an up and down person. I get mad at God, and then I'm happy with God, and then I'm frustrated with God, and I'm happy with God. I'm like, why, God? And I'm like, thank you, God. You know, just I'm just all over the map. Yeah, you don't want me as your pastor. And I got mad. And out loud, I start to say things like, God, don't you know who we are? We have given our lives for you. We are in ministry. Like I'm spelling it out for God. We have given our lives for you. And now I don't have a dollar for fried onions. And I don't know what was with me, but I got mad. I'm banging the table, and Katie's starting to cry because she has a husband who's not leading, well, leading the wrong direction. And Madison is looking at me like, and God's sovereign timing, as there was a break in my voice, there was a knock on the door. That's what I said. Oh, Lord Jesus. And so I went to the door, and we had a glass window in the door, and I could see who was there. It was some of our good friends, kind of like another mom and dad to us. They walked in the door, and totally surprised, unannounced, and said, hey, we don't want to stay very long, but we just wanted just a few minutes of your time. I said, well, oh my gosh, come in, yeah. So we literally stood in the lobby of our house there. And the gal said, hey, as you know, my mom passed away a few months ago, and we just closed the estate and got a pretty sizable inheritance. And we were just praying, Lord, what should we do with the money? And the Lord really put in our heart that we were supposed to give some of it to you guys. So she handed me an envelope, and she gave me a hug, and her husband walked out the door, and that was it. So our family just stood there, and I began to open the envelope, and here's a $100 bill, and another $100, and another $100, and another $100, and another $100. I didn't have to finish counting because I knew it was more than $100. So the first things I did is I bought me some fried onions. No. God's sense of humor. But it was a teachable moment. It was a time for me to see something that I previously hadn't seen. It was a way that he timed it perfectly. When I'm ranting, I'm raving, I'm pounding on the table, and I'm yelling at God and telling him, who, what do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? And he knew all along, oh my Lord, that there'd be a knock on the door. The lesson I learned is that God looks for our need, and he wants to meet us at our need. It's not always the way that we plan it. It's not always the timing that we would expect it to be, but God wants to meet our need. And really, it's so that we can experience another part of his glory, another part of who he is. It's a chance and an opportunity for us to take another step in our walk with Jesus Christ, to grow more, to understand that, Lord, I need you today, but I need you tomorrow. I need you next week when something comes up in my life. God, I need you. And God says, I'm here. God loves to work in the in-between places. What are the boundaries? What are the boundaries this morning that you have placed in your own life to protect you from yourself? Listen, sometimes we don't need other people to marginalize us. We can marginalize ourselves. We do a great job at that. I'm not smart enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm divorced. I've been married 4 times. I'm sick. We can marginalize ourselves. I'm such a sinner, if people only knew the things that go on in my heart and my mind. We can marginalize ourselves. What's hidden in the in-between places in your life this morning? Because that's where Jesus loves to work. And I believe this morning that's where God wants to work in your life too, those in-between places. What circumstances? What are the circumstances that have placed boundaries around you? I'm not gonna lie, it's been a hard month or so for us as a family, because Kate's been having some health issues and she's still walking through that. We can let things like that put boundaries around us that separate us from other people. But what circumstances have created boundaries around you? What circumstances, what people have put boundaries around you this morning? And this is my guess. You don't have to think very long and hard what those are. It's right there. Do you have to think about it? It's there. And we know exactly what those are for us. Let's go on to the next verse, verse 13. He says, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. I love this. You know, I didn't see this until I began to do the study for today's message. For whatever reason, all these years, Bible college and reading the Bible, I've never seen this or noticed this before. But when Jesus healed them, it wasn't when they were in front of him. He sent them on their way. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And it was while they were walking to the priest that they were healed. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this morning, but I really feel like this is a word for somebody this morning. Just because you are not healed this morning doesn't mean that God isn't in the midst of healing you. Sometimes we need to walk it through and see it through. I remember as a kid and as a teenager, my mom, who I would just put a halo around her head. I mean, she wasn't perfect, but she was about perfect as you can get with her walk with the Lord. And she came home from the doctor's one day, and she was just as white as a ghost. We sat down as a family, and she said, my exam today, they found multiple lumps in my breast. She said, they're all over. And if you've ever been around cancer, and if you've ever heard a lump in your breast, you know exactly the fear that went through our family and touched our family. And I don't think I've ever seen my mom scared before in my life, but here she was. She was petrified. The next morning, my mom came out of her room from having her devotions, and she was smiling, she was singing a worship song. She's kind of laughing, giggling with everybody. I'm like, Mom, what's up? What, does something change? And she said, in my devotions this morning, God gave me a word. He said to me that during the midweek service this week at church, I love this, pastor is going to ask for people to come down for healing. Now, we do that almost every week here at PCC. That didn't happen at this church I went through for. We prayed for it. It didn't happen on a regular basis. But she said, I heard God say that the pastor is going to invite people down to be healed, and he said to me, if I walk down there, you will be healed. And she said, so it's done. Here's the key point. It wasn't done. Jesus could have said to her in her devotions, be healed, and she would have been healed on the spot. But that's not what he said. He said, I want you to go show yourself to the priest, is what basically he said to her, and you shall be healed. So as you can expect, we were all at church on Wednesday night. And guess what happened? Pastor invited people to come down front to be healed. My mom was she was the first one down there. And she came back and she was weeping and she was laughing, and she said, "It's done." Do you know what she had done? Is she had set up a doctor's appointment for the very next day in faith. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "I can't explain it. You were here 3 days ago, and your breasts literally were filled with lumps." And he said, "Today, I can't find one." Sometimes we need to walk it out. Sometimes it's on the way that God brings healing. Sometimes it's on the way that he brings deliverance. It's very rare that I've ever heard of a marriage being healed in church on a Sunday morning. Why? Because that's relationship. Because that's something that needs to be walked out. That's something that needs to be lived out. That comes from a heart change that has to be lived out. Can your marriage be restored today? I believe this: God can speak to you, change your heart, change your spouse's heart, and today you can walk out of here changed, so your marriage will be healed. That's what I believe. Will it happen this morning? No. Will it happen on the way? Yes. Let's go on to the next verse. He says, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan." I don't want to spend too much time on this point, but it was important to guess that this guy was a Samaritan, implying that the other nine people were probably Jews, and maybe even religious Jews. And so here's somebody who was not God's chosen people, but yet this there was something different about this. What's different about this one? What's different about this Samaritan? And you know what I love about this? Believing is seeing. Listen, seeing isn't believing, because we can all do that, right? I believe it when I see it. The difference in the reason that this guy came back, that this Samaritan came back to Jesus, is because when he was walking to go see the priest, he found himself healed, and he noticed something different. There was something different about this guy. He wasn't just a master. He wasn't just a teacher. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a healer. There was something different about this guy. And now I'm healed. I wasn't healed before. Oh my God, what is going on? I got to turn around from where I am. I got to start going into a different direction, because there's something so different about this person. It must be God. And when he found him, he fell at his feet and in a loud voice began to praise God for what he had done. And because he believed it was God, he could see. Let that sink in just for a second. Because he believed, then he could see. When we change the direction of our life, it's choice, isn't it? And when the Samaritan turned around, it was choice. He could have gone to the priest. Listen, it was not only custom, it was law that if you were going to be cleansed, you had to go before the priest so the priest could say, "Yes, just amen, you are cleansed." And that, yet this guy didn't do that, because he knew that he was supposed to go to the priest, but instead what he found was the great high priest. I think the other reason this guy turned around is because he understood that this was a divine setup. Some of you this morning are being set up by God at this time, at this place, for a reason. You know, sometimes I think we think, you know, good things just happen. Someone could say that, well, those people just came and gave you a check. Was that really God, or was that really the person who gave you the check or the cash in your hand when they knocked on the door of our house? Listen, God is up to something. God has a plan. God is orchestrating and moving circumstance and people to meet your need. Sometimes before you even realize that you have the need. Sometimes even before you have the humility to say, I have a need. If I don't think in me somehow, if I can't somehow rationalize my mind that God knit together that day that I'm sitting at my table and I'm complaining, I'm pounding the table, and I'm just complaining and whining like a little baby because I don't have fried onions on my green beans, that God orchestrated for a family to come, that mom died, they got this inheritance, and they prayed, and all of a sudden pointed in our direction. God orchestrates things, and God is orchestrating something this morning because someone in this place needs to be healed. Someone in this place needs to be delivered this morning. And it's no accident that you're here. Because believing is seeing. And if you can come in a place in your heart and your mind and your spirit this morning and believe, you'll see. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" I love this question. This is such a crack up. Jesus is asking, "Where are the other 9? Jesus knew where the other 9 were. He is the one who sent him there. Go to the priest. Go show yourself to the priest. You'll be cleansed. He knew where they were. I guess here's the aching question in my heart as I read this story. Where were the other 9? Part of the point is that the guy who came back was a Samaritan. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't chosen of God, but clearly he was chosen of God. And the other 9 were probably Jews, right? They were religious people. Were they not thankful? Is that why they didn't come back? I'll tell you what. If you have leprosy and your nose is falling off and you're losing digits of your fingers and all of a sudden you're healed, you're cleansed, I'm guessing they're probably pretty thankful. So that's not the reason they didn't come back. Why didn't they come back? Why didn't they come back? Here's a guess and just a stirring in my heart. This may be theologically incorrect. Sometimes I think we can get so used to our religion that we lose sight of the relationship. Sometimes I think we can be so focused on the need being met that we miss out on the one who's meeting the need. Sometimes church can get stale. Sometimes the Word of God can become like the wallpaper that we're used to seeing every week. The same songs, the same pastor, the same carpet. We need a carpet. I don't want to get so churched that I lose perspective of why I'm coming here. And I love coming here. I love the worship that we experience together. I love the word that we get from Pastor Ray on a consistent basis that's powerful, instructive, life-changing. This is a moment, like any other Sunday, I guess. I'm going to say it again, though. What is your need? Because God wants to meet your need. And he said to them, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." When we look at the word "well" here, the Greek word is sisoken. It can also be translated as healed or made well or saved. I love the King James translation. It says, you'll be made whole. Listen, the guy who came back who was healed and began to praise God, was he already healed? Was he healed? Yes, he was already healed. So why would Jesus say to him again then, you're healed, after he was already healed? That's not what's going on here. There was something more going on here than just being healed of leprosy. There's a bigger picture here. And this is where I want to rest this morning. Something else is going on here that we can't miss this piece. Listen, this is what gets me excited. This is what gets me up in the morning. Because he was healed, and because of his faith, because of his gratitude, because of his worship. Listen, gratitude is birthed out of need. Gratitude is birthed out of somebody needing healing or restoration or deliverance. Gratitude is birthed out of hurt, and gratitude is birthed out of pain. We say we want to see miracles and people healed and delivered, but we don't want to experience the pain that leads to it. But in fact, the miracle comes and is birthed out of pain when God says, I meet that pain. Pain be gone. That disease, gone. That relationship, let's work on that. His faith was displayed in his praise. It's been a weird kind of a, it's been a weird week and a half. A lot going on in our family. And with Kate's health, and then somebody who was close to me, somebody in fact who I really dearly love, was kind of insulted about a week and a half ago. Really, their integrity was questioned. And sometimes I get more mad when somebody I love, when their integrity is questioned, not my own. You know what I mean? Like something kind of rises up within me, that protector I just want to protect. I'm like, we're out of here. Let's move to Texas. I don't know what's in Texas, but I'm like, you know, right? Sometimes we want to get out of our circumstances. And let's move to Austin. Austin's like Portland, right? Keep Austin weird. Keep Portland weird. Let's move to Austin. And my emotions went crazy all week long. My emotions were up and down. We do things that are just stupid, but we do things out of emotion sometimes because we let them control our lives. And I'm treating people the way I ought not to treat them. I talked to the college groups on Wednesday night. I was a sarcastic mess, and I was just being a dork. I mean, it was kind of hilarious at the same time. I let it control me. I'm just being transparent with you. I'm trying to prepare for a message on Sunday, and here's this battle going on inside of me, this anger, and oh my gosh, seriously, how could this go on? How could this be said? And I'm hurting, and I'm mad for this person that I love. And I remember it happened on Friday morning. I was talking to Pastor Joel about this too, just on Friday, because it happened on Friday morning. I'm driving into church in the morning, and I'm coming up over the hill, and as I'm driving, half of me is thinking about the hurt and how I deserve to live in this hurt and this anger. And the other half of me is planning for today's message. Whoa. And here's this battle going on, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And in just a moment, in just a hush, God challenged me. He questioned me. And he said, are you going to let what someone says dictate your rise and fall? Or are you a child of God? I said, I'm a child of God. Thank you. And it was as if he said in that moment, that's all I needed to hear. Then all of a sudden, all the pieces that I've been studying for a couple weeks for this message just started kind of coming together, just boom, 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 boom. Something was released. I think sometimes we carry things in the in-between places of our life, and we allow them to marginalize God's purpose and plan. If you're like me, sometimes I allow them just to control my emotions. Katie said she married me. One of the reasons she married me was because of my emotions, not realizing the roller coaster ride that would be. This morning, I want to consider the parts of us that are hidden in the borderlands of ourselves where we may least want to be seen and most need to be touched. Because gratitude is birthed out of need.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.